Hey, NAIA football fans, Corey Thorpe here with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA, your custom apparel, merch, and uniform experts. Our friends at AdCraft have been with us for many years now. They've run web stores for us multiple times. These guys are NAIA fans and family who are experts in the apparel and merchandise world. AdCraft allows you to take the hassle out of ordering. Let their knowledgeable design and customer service staff handle everything from hosting the store online, shipping the product, and helping your customers so you can get back to the game. Find them online at AdCraftUSA.com. All right, NAIA football fans, this is Corey Thorpe back with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merch, the best in the business in custom apparel, merch, and uniform since 1974. You're probably going, Corey, you just had Matt McCarty on. You should be done. He was the national champ. Well, sure, but we were fortunate enough to be able to get back up with Coach Andrew Rohde from Indiana Wesleyan and get him on. Couldn't leave one of the 16 undone here. So, Coach, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. It's an honor to be on the show, and I'm excited for the next what's coming in the next 30 minutes here.
Absolutely. We're glad to have you on. We've been watching the rise of Indiana Wesleyan for 5-6 years now, watching it go through and make strides through the gauntlet. And obviously, the prior head coach was rewarded with a position coach gig at a Power 5 school, and that's super, super cool. But as you get to come in and you're bringing in almost a new staff in with you, talk to me about building that staff out as you're trying to get a class together and the chaos all that entails.
Man, that was a challenge. That was probably an even bigger challenge than I thought it would be, you know, just being a new head coach, walking into that situation. I mean, the previous staff, it's outstanding people, outstanding guys. One of the things that really kind of came across as I started meeting with the players, meeting with the coaches, you know, in the very beginning of the transition it came across as how well those guys were coached. I mean, that was a really, really good staff. They did a really good job. Those guys were prepared every week. They knew football. And it was clear that they worked their tails off and put themselves in a position to be playing in that semifinal game against Northwestern. And Matt McCarty did a great job with his staff and that team and in terms of, you know, the way the season finished out for those guys. But, I'm really, really excited about the staff that we've got. It's phenomenal people. I think they're great coaches. And they, you know, they bleed the same things that I bleed in terms of mission and why we got into coaching. And so that's what I'm really, really excited about. And even in the last 3 months, as we've been able to just really start to spend time together, we've started to, number one, grow as coaches, but two, just kind of grow in our friendship together. And so I've really appreciated that about them and their willingness to just buy into me, buy into the program, buy into the culture, and really push things hard and recruit like crazy. Touching base on the recruiting piece, the previous staff, again, did an outstanding job. When I walked in, I mean, it was mid-January, and that situation can go one of two ways because those guys were in limbo for about a month. They didn't know what was going to happen with a new head coach and if guys were going to be retained or, you know, pushed out or what was going to happen. Man, credit to them because they recruited their tails off. And the recruiting class was, for the most part, just about done when I walked in mid-January. I mean, we had a handful of guys that we needed to kind of finish up on and some holes still to fill kind of as we finished through the transition. But they did an incredible job just working through that kind of tumultuous, uncertain time. And they really pulled a class together really, really well without a head coach leading those last couple really important weeks.
So, Coach, you come from obviously Morningside, and you're coming from a dynasty into a team that is really starting to rack up what it's able to do and getting a lot of momentum. Like you talked about, the previous staff was doing a very good job keeping things together and making sure to set up for success. But you know, obviously it's you're transitioning from their team to your team, and so just wanted to step into at some point, you know, your offensive identity may change. I mean, they were a great running team a year ago, IWU, and they've been a great running team for the last few years. And you've got a quarterback returning in Xander Stokes who, you know, anytime you've got a quarterback that's pushing 65% passing and 27 touchdown passes, you're pretty happy about getting that back. But, you know, yeah. Also you're used to all-time greats at Morningside. Talk to me about what you want to get into doing it offensively.
Well, I've done a lot of different things. You know, I kind of grew up in a little bit more of a triple option, like gun triple system, you know, at Greenville, and then, you know, took a lot of those pieces and principles into Concordia when I was the coordinator there, and evolved that a little bit more into some spread option type stuff. And then, you know, taking those principles and going to Morningside. Now, obviously, we didn't do very much of that at Morningside because the players we had, you know, it didn't fit their skill set. I mean, Joe Dolinchek was one of the most incredible players I've ever seen at this level. You know, two-time player of the year, was just outstanding. It's like, man, you ain't going to run that kid 35 times a game. That doesn't make any sense. You need to keep him healthy and let him sling the rock because that's what he could do really, really well. And obviously, you know, the system that was at Morningside and being able to get into that, you know, it's an incredible system, just a really explosive offense. And so I think, you know, as I'm coming into this place, spring ball was great for me. I got to know the players a lot. I got to really start to understand some of their skill sets and what they were good at. You know, we had some injuries, and so I missed on some of the guys, but we're going to try and figure some of those pieces out during the summer. So I think there's going to be some elements of some of the things that we did at Morningside, yet, you know, there's a lot of good things that we did at Concordia, you know, before I got to Morningside and did with success in the mid-states. And so I think we're going to try and kind of blend a lot of those things into what we're going to be doing moving forward in this offense. And through all of that, it's got to fit Xander and the receivers and the offensive line and the running backs that we've got coming back. Because if it doesn't, we're just kind of wasting our time and spinning our wheels.
One of the best things is that you do have two all-conference offensive linemen coming back in Lucas Hoyle and Will Angel. You are going to say goodbye to a couple of all-conference selections in Ben Farrell and Micah Visser, but it's really been the offensive line of Indiana Wesleyan that's opened up the holes for that running game and kept Xander Stokes doing what he wants to do. Defensively, you're no stranger to it. You just mentioned it being at Concordia. You know what the defense is in especially the Mideast are like. I mean, you've
oh yeah.
You look at your Marians, you look at your St. Francis, you look at Concordia where you were at. Lord, you look at, oh my gosh, they just
and you can't
keep
leave
going.
Siena Heights.
Right, exactly.
I mean, that's a team that plays dominant defense every single week, week in, week out. I think they had the defensive player of the year that thankfully that kid is graduating. I think he was a defensive lineman, but it's I mean, it's every week. It is a absolute monster of a defense that you're going after. A little bit different than coming from the GPAC where, you know, there's some really good football teams. I mean, you got Morningside and that defense and Northwestern and there's some other teams in there that are pretty good, but it is certainly not like the Mid-States in general, but particularly the Mid-States East.
Defensively, I assume you're probably, you know, how do you plan to stop some of these teams, your Marians that like to do the smash mouth football, your Concordias, what's kind of your defensive philosophy?
Just from a head coaching standpoint, I think, I think if you're a team and you're just a spread team and you just try and throw it around 50 times in this league, one, I think you'd be a little bit of kind of a unicorn in this league in a positive way because it's not what everybody does. And so offensively, I think you'd have some advantages to that. Yet at the same time, I think you'd absolutely get killed every week because you wouldn't be able to stop the run. And, you know, you get in a two tight end set and when Marion wants to get down there and Concordia and all those teams in the East want to get down and play with two and three tight ends and just pound it, you have to be able to shut it down. And so I think you have to be able to practice and develop those skills in your offense so that your defense can practice against those things. But hiring Cameron Locke and Austin Taylor as the co-defensive coordinators, I mean, they've done an outstanding job. Obviously this defense here at Indiana Wesleyan has done a really, really good job for a long time. Even though it's been under some different coordinators the last 5 years, but those two guys, they've got a great understanding of the game in terms of the box and coverages and putting that together. And I think they're going to do an outstanding job together, putting a game plan in place that's going to put our guys in position to be success. But at the end of the day, it's like you got to have the cats in this league. And I think I feel really good about the defense in terms of where we're at in this moment, while understanding we've got a long way to go if we really want to be able to play at the top of this league.
Well, Coach, now that you've been kind of there and back again almost for you, you've been through the GPAC and the gauntlet there. Even the good years with Dort there, the couple they had there. Talk to me about the similarities in the defenses between having to wind your way through the GPAC versus, ending your season with St. Francis, Marion, and Concordia.
I feel like that's going to be playing, it'll be like playing Dort in the good years and then Northwestern again. I mean, that's what that run is going to be like. So it's going to be a challenge. I'm thankful that we've got a bye week right before those three games. Just for us to be able to, number one, get healthy and then make sure that we're prepped for those three teams. Defensively, they're all somewhat similar in terms of their structure. So there'll be some carryover probably from week to week to week in those last games. But yeah, it's going to be a monster, and it's going to be three very physical games, very physical teams. And I'm hoping that from our standpoint, we're able to look at one of those games or a couple of those games and say, this is like a conference championship game, which I know we're not looking ahead to that, but hopefully we're in that position at the end of the season. We can be grabbing a trophy somewhere during one of those 3 weeks. But, when you look at the GPAC, it always felt like you would, play a really tough team like a Northwestern, who's just got a really tough and physical defense, and they are very, very smart and well coached. And then you would play a team that, wouldn't be quite on that level, and the game would never be easy. But just from a schematic standpoint, it wouldn't be quite as challenging, and the team wouldn't be as culturally tough. And then you come back, and so you kind of have these like on off on type. That would be the run in the GPAC. And here in the East, it's if you're not on a week, man, you're getting beat like a drum. You got to come ready to play with a great game plan. You guys have to physically, mentally, just and emotionally be ready to play every week.
We talk about that back end of the schedule. The front end of the schedule you can't be no kittens coming through there. You host Valpo on the back end of that home and home on September 9th. On September 16th, you're playing at St. Xavier, perennial playoff team. You go and you host Roosevelt, who is, might be 1 foot out the door to the GLIAC, but, they still are a punishing football team running the football. And then, if you get through those three, your reward is you get Siena Heights, and you've already talked about their defense. I'm just increasing your stress level, aren't I?
Yep. They're like I said, you got to be ready to go every week. And you didn't even bring up, we open up with Lawrence Tech at Lawrence Tech under the lights, which Avon Mitchell does an outstanding job with their defense. I mean, those guys are going to be ready to play, and I'm sure he is. Watched his fair share of Morningside film at this point, getting ready to play us in that first week.
Absolutely. So, Coach, let's talk specifically about the personnel that you've got coming back on defense. We kind of touched on them, but we didn't really get into them like we did the offense. You've got Isaac Abeo, Clayton Mosher, and Neil Campbell coming back. One first-team all-conference at each level of your defense. Talk to me about keeping with a culture that likes to hit and hit hard?
Well, I think I fit that same culture, and that was one of the reasons that I was really excited about Cameron Locke and Austin Taylor taking the defense over, because I think for their mindset fits the same mindset that I want, is a just tough, relentless, and physical defense that is going to hit and hit and hit and hit. And that's something I'm excited about. So, yeah, Isaac Abeo, you know, he did an incredible job in spring ball. And I was, you know, we're transitioning on offense, and our offense, you know, we're different and we're learning. And so guys are making some mistakes. And let's just put it this way. I was really glad every time we pulled Isaac Abeo out of spring ball or he was missing for some reason, because it gave us a chance to actually run our offense. Otherwise, he's like living in our backfield, just causing all sorts of problems. But man, he is tough and physical. And I am really excited to see what he's going to do. You know, and then there's a whole, like, I know we graduated quite a few guys off of last year's defensive line. But I'm looking at the guys that we've got coming back and what we think this D line is going to look like, both from a top end talent standpoint and a depth standpoint. And I'm just like, my goodness, it's not going to look that different than it did last year. So I'm pretty excited about the guys that we've got coming back. Not, you know, there's some health things that we got to get worked out and some of those pieces, but it's going to be pretty good. And then on the second level, Clayton Mosier is, you know, maybe one of the smartest and most talented defensive guys I've seen play at the NAI level, you know, in the 13 or 14 years I've been coaching in the NAI. I mean, he's just an incredible talent, but has an unbelievable mind for the game. He's one of the unquestioned leaders of our defense. Man, he is locked in on getting better every single day in practice, probably to a greater degree than just about every other guy we've got. So he's not just some talented kid that's out there hanging out. Is, man, he is working like a dog to be the best linebacker in the nation, out on the outside out there. And then, you know, Luke Bays is coming back. Devin Bacchus is not back, but he's coaching our inside linebackers. He just has an unbelievable energy. He's got a really good mind for the game and is helping mentor those guys in some really neat ways on the interior. And then, yeah, Neil is a lockdown corner on the outside. But, you know, there's been some bright spots on the offense. You know, there's been one guy that we've been able to have that's coming back that has been able to challenge him in practice and to challenge him on a consistent basis. And so that's been really, really good to see, to get those two matched up and get him going. But yeah, Neil is outstanding. We just got to make sure he stays healthy and continues to improve. But we should get him back for two more years even, which is pretty awesome.
That is always good. You know, Coach, there are a lot of really nice facilities around the NAI, but I'm not sure that there's any that looks as D1 as Indiana Wesleyan does, just offhand. Talk to me about your thoughts when you just went through there and saw everything for the first time and getting that kind of space.
Well, I think the moment it set in, I hadn't even seen the football facility, hadn't seen anything in terms of the athletic stuff at all. And I remember walking through the student center when the AD was interviewing me, and I walked in and I took about 10 steps and just stopped and started looking around, and he kind of didn't notice me stop and walked ahead a couple feet and then, you know, stopped and looked back, and he just goes, "It's pretty awesome, isn't it?" I mean, I was floored at the student center, the rec center, the academic buildings, the chapel. I mean, everything on campus is incredible. I mean, when they build something, when they do it right. And I mean, you look at it, they're incredibly committed to the student experience here. I mean, it's, how do you go from playing your first varsity game and in five seasons you're in the semifinal game? I mean, it's like, this place is set up to compete at the very, very top of the NAI. But yeah, man, from a facility standpoint, it's, you know, I've been around a lot of places and seen a bunch of schools, and it's, there is nobody like us. So I am incredibly thankful to be a part of this program and to be the head coach here and to walk into a facility like I get to walk into every day. It's humbling, and I'm honored to do it.
And I'm sure that you kind of see it in the faces of the other student athletes that are on campus right now. As Indiana Wesleyan is hosting men's and women's the track finals, see kind of them looking around.
I can literally hear the national championship out my window, like as we're speaking. I don't know if you can. Hopefully, you can't hear it through through this, but yeah, it's been going on. It's been an awesome experience. I'm kind of hoping, as I was watching the 4x1 and like the 100 and 200 meter dashes, I'm kind of hoping that one of those like 10-1 kids just walks up and goes, "Coach, do you need a receiver or a running back or a corner or anything?" And yes, I do, if you're listening.
Yep.
We'll take one.
I'm just happy Thomas gets a couple kids up there and gets to have that experience. That's pretty cool for the folks from South Georgia.
Oh yeah.
Well, Coach, I'm thrilled to have had you on, and we're looking forward to seeing another season of MSFA Mideast football. It's just, man, this will come out early June. So, you know, we have ended flag football season, and so now starts the dry desert, you know, of no football until late August. We'll make it.
No football for you. We're getting after it in the summer, and we're training and we're prepping for the fall. So I still get to have a little bit of a fix.
So, yeah, and so we're very excited to see what Indiana Wesleyan can do. I mean, it's been, we've watched the growth of the Mideast, especially since Indiana Wesleyan has started really, really pushing, and watched how it's pushed the other teams, namely your two basic neighbors there, St. Francis up in Fort Wayne and Marion in Indianapolis. It's been fun to watch how those teams are getting pushed to do better. And I think that competition helps everyone at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's hard to look at it and say Indiana Wesleyan is the driver and the pusher, because you've got Marion just down the road, and they won. When they win it in 14 or 15. And I mean, they're 15. Just a powerhouse every year. Yeah. We won't talk about the picture behind you, but it's like, man, it's like fuel for the fire right now. Just bring it on. You might as well put a score up there too, from like the old Concordia days of Marion whipping us. And so just, that's fine. But I mean, Marion's been in it every year. I mean, that's a powerhouse team. And St. Francis won it, was it like 16 and 17 or 17, 18 or those 2 years. And, you know, I think, yeah, it's those, you know, us three teams in Indiana are all kind of pushing each other. Yet at the same time, it's like, man, I think the coaches here for the last 5 years just did a really, really good job of, not just getting their foot in the door, but they broke the door down in a really, really fast way to be able to compete with those other teams. And thankfully, you know, we've been at the top the last 2 years, but obviously there's a transition. And so it's kind of like, you know, hey, what's going to happen in these upcoming months, and who's going to be prepared, and who's going to take hold of the reins, walking into this 23 season.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the NAIAF Ball Podcast presented by AdCraft USA. Be sure to contact them for all your custom apparel, merch, and uniform needs. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to the podcast as well as to our YouTube channel. Leave us a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. As always, if you'd like to support what we do, head over to patreon.com/NAIAFBALL and become a patron. We can't do what we do without our sponsors and listeners like you.